standing. We have our reading from the Gospel according to John. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. A word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Well, last week we did Jesus' baptism in Matthew, but this week we're turning to John to look at the events just the next day following Jesus' baptism. And I think it's helpful to notice that in John, Jesus goes directly from his baptism to recruiting disciples. Whereas in the other Gospels, he spends 40 days in the wilderness before he goes into his ministry in Galilee. And another difference, Jesus' first disciples, including Andrew, that we read about today, are down in Judea following John when they encounter Jesus. Or it may be that John is baptizing up in Galilee, which would be slightly different than what the other Gospels portray. In Matthew and Mark, Peter and Andrew are together cleaning their fishing nets by the Sea of Galilee when Jesus calls. And in Luke, Jesus meets Peter first, not Andrew, and asks him to take out his boat. And what's important to understand about this, I just draw to your attention these slight differences in the narratives of the Gospels, because we should notice that the Gospels are not meant primarily to be geographically and chronologically correct. That's not how they're written, and that's not how they're used, and the church has chosen to pass down to us four Gospels, which have some irreconcilable differences in the chronology and in the geography, because they're not meant to teach us that. They're meant to teach us about God, and particularly how God is revealed in Jesus Christ. So when we interpret the Gospels, we need to be reading with that in mind. Each writer tells the story in their own way in order to bring to us theological truth. In other words, to help us to see God. We might reconcile the history and the story in whatever way seems good to us. We may not even feel the need to do that. The important thing about reading the Bible and interpreting it is that it is important to see God in the story. And so often I find it's the confusing details, the strange details that are included by the writer for a certain reason. Those are the places where we can see God. Now, we don't just try to see God for our own benefit. In the story today, we read about John the Baptist, right? If you've been following Jesus for very long, you realize that part of following Jesus is inviting other people to follow Jesus. Just like John the Baptist, we are tasked to point out Jesus to other people, especially those who don't know Jesus yet. But the thing is, we often assume that we know what someone else is looking for. Very often, we assume that everyone is looking for the same thing. That when we point out Jesus, that we just assume that they are looking for a savior. They're looking for a solution to a problem of sin, maybe looking for a way to avoid hell, and that they need a savior who sacrificed himself to go to heaven. And we just need to sort of point out Jesus or say, "Come to our church," right? And that is sufficient. That's what people are looking for. And in the 20th century, that was true. People were largely looking for that. In a Christian culture, people generally already believed in Jesus and were just looking for a church to belong to, just looking for a place that they could find Jesus. So we followed a model that fit that reality, a model of altar calls and Jesus prayers, a model that suggests that first people need to believe in Jesus. That's the first step. You believe in Jesus as their personal Savior. And then when they've taken that step, then they can belong to our group. They could join, become a member of the church. They could belong to our group. And then they could begin to become more like Jesus within the context of the church, right? The model was believe, belong, and then become. Or maybe if they already believe, they could just transfer their letter to us and belong and become straight after that, right? This is the model that we're all familiar with, the model that we followed. We thought we knew the answers to people's questions, and we believed that we had the answers. In our story today, Jesus does not assume he knows what people want. Jesus begins with a question. He asks them, "What are you looking for? What are you seeking?" Before he tells them about himself, before he helps them to find God in himself, in Jesus, he wants to know what they're seeking. It turns out that they're not looking for salvation for their sins. That's not the first thing they answer. Instead, they reply with this odd question: "Where are you staying?" It really seems sort of out of place in the narrative. What are you seeking? They ask, where are you staying? They like the most important thing to them, what they really are looking for is to know where Jesus lays his head at night. To know where he lives. Like that's the answer that they've been looking for in the years that they've been following John the Baptist and studying him, right? It's an odd question. But if you get down deeper, right? Beside just the logistics of sort of becoming Jesus' disciples and therefore knowing where he lives, where they can go to follow him. Underneath that, the word that is used in the story that John is telling is the Greek word meno, which means nothing to you unless you sort of study it further and find that throughout the Gospel of John, he uses this word a lot, but very often it is translated abide. Such as in Jesus' farewell speech in John 15, Jesus says, "Abide in me as I abide in you." Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. And he also says this, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. I think John uses the word here in chapter 1 in this question they ask Jesus, not where are you staying, where are you abiding? Where do you remain? Where do you find your comfort and your place to belong? Because that's what they're looking for. You see, these men have followed Jesus. They followed John the Baptist. They've been seeking purpose and meaning. They've been seeking truth. They're seeking a way to be close to God, to be a part of something that is bigger than themselves. And they've been following John the Baptist, and John has told them, now go follow this guy. And they want to know, are you a place that we can belong? They want to belong to God and to each other in a deep way, and they want to know if Jesus is offering that. And Jesus, in his reply, simply says, come and see. Doesn't say, clean yourself up and then come talk to me. He doesn't say, well, you need to recite this certain prayer and then you can come and follow me. He doesn't say, you know what, go confess your sin and then come and follow me. He says, come and see. See where I abide. See where I belong and where you can belong in a new and significant way, where you can be a part of something that's bigger than yourself. That's the typical pattern that Jesus follows as he calls his disciples. He invites them to follow him. He says, come and be a part of this movement. Become part of what we're doing. Belong to each other and God in a new way. And only then does he begin to talk to them about belief, about what they believe, that Jesus is the Messiah, the one who has come to change Israel and to change the world. And even then, after that, they're never clear about the cross or the resurrection or any of that stuff until they experience the risen Christ for themselves in their own lives. So for the disciples, and I believe for many people today, in our world, in the 21st century, the order of finding Jesus seems to be become, belong, and then believe. People are seeking a place to come and belong. People are seeking a place to abide, a place to share in the love of God with each other, to feel like they're a part of something that's significant and important. People want to make a difference. People aren't necessarily looking for relief from sin, and they're not necessarily looking for moral teaching from a wise teacher, although they can get that from Jesus. People are looking to be a part and belong to a community of love that is bearing fruit in the world. And thanks be to God, because that is exactly what Jesus is offering. That is exactly what Jesus has formed here at St. Paul United Methodist Church, a family of love where people can feel like they belong to something that is bigger than themselves. A place to abide, a community of love where we support each other, and a community where we have a purpose in our community to help other people, to support the children at Legacy Elementary. Jesus invites people to come and see the love of God in action, and only then to make up their minds as whether or not he is the Messiah. So for us as a church, it is our call to be out in the community and invite people, come and see. Come and see the love of God in action in our lives. Come and see what God is doing among us here, the strength that God has built here in this place in the West End. Come and see people that belong to each other in a special way. Experience that love and that support, that family that we have. And just like the disciples, then we are called to become, to be transformed. But that individual transformation serves a bigger goal. Saving individual people from their sins is a part of what happens along the way on God's goal to form a new community, the reign of God on earth, where God bears fruit in the world. So let us invite God to abide in us as we abide in one another, and go out and invite people. Come and see. Come and see what the Lord is doing among us. Thanks be to God in Jesus Christ. Amen.